Our scripture reading today is from Revelation chapter 22. So we celebrated the first Advent last week. This week, reflecting on the second Advent, Jesus' second coming, and it's the last passage, the last chapter of the whole Bible. And you'll find if you peek through, there's a theme. I'm coming soon. I'm coming soon. I am coming soon. Come, come, come. I am coming soon. And the prayer at the end, come, Lord Jesus. The last prayer in the whole Bible is, come, Lord Jesus. And so our scripture reading is Revelation 22, 6 through 7. Hear the word of the Lord. And he said to me, these words are trustworthy and true. And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, has sent his angel to show his servants what must soon take place. And behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. This is the word of the Lord.
Here we are, church, just a few short days away from the start of another year, and for much of the world, people typically like to spend this time leading up to this on-ramp of the new year to reflect on the prior one. And then lots of people will make New Year resolutions, which I assume many of you will be doing. I am terrible at both of those things. Both reflecting and planning for the future, to be honest. My Ashley loves to reflect and think about what we could be doing differently. How does this make us feel? What goals can we make for the future? She loves it. I normally just kind of wing it and shoot from the hip through all of life. I'm sure I don't have to explain that there is wisdom in one of those approaches, and it's not the one that I tend to lean towards. But though the whole world may be reflecting and making resolutions right now because of where we're at in the calendar year, that act of both reflecting on the past and then considering the future is something that is especially important for the church at all times. And so this morning, I'd like us to do just that together briefly this morning. I want us to briefly reflect on this year and then consider what comes next. And so I want to give some good biblical foundations to support these next few things I'm going to say. So let's flip over to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4. If you do have a copy of God's word with you, it'll be Deuteronomy, chapter 4. Now, at this point in the Bible story here, where we're at in Deuteronomy 4, God has already miraculously rescued Israel out of Egypt in what is called the Exodus. They then wandered through the wilderness for many years because of their constant grumbling and their unbelief on their way to what's called the Promised Land. A promised land where they can flourish as a people and experience God's unique presence with them on earth. And before they enter into that land, Moses gives them the law, which can be summed up in the Ten Commandments, and then tells them this here in chapter 4. Starting in verse 1, I'll bounce around just a little bit. Verse 1 and then 9. He says, "And now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the rules that I am teaching you, and do them that you may live and go in and take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you." And then we'll skip down a handful of verses and go down to verse 9. He says, "Only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and to your children's children, So he's saying live according to God's rule, this law that he's just given them, and remember the Lord. This is how the Israelites will flourish in this promised land they're about to enter into. Keep your soul diligently, he says, by remembering what the Lord has done for you. Over and over and over and over again, they are told to remember the Lord. Remember what he has done for you. Reflect on it. Don't forget who busted you out of Egypt, who led you across the Red Sea, holding up walls of water, who fed manna from heaven, who led you and sustained you in the wilderness over and over and over throughout the book of Deuteronomy. They are told to remember what God has done. He reiterates that remembering the Lord's deeds will help them to remain faithful to God and to live. It's not that different for the church today. Remember, reflect, meditate, think about what the Lord has done for his church, for you, so that you will remain faithful to God and live. And so, church, let's do that for just a moment. Let's reflect together. I mean, if you're a note taker, maybe jot down some of these to flesh out a little further later. Let's just think for a moment. How has the Lord been faithful to you this year? Did you battle and win over your sin struggles? Did you grow in your faithfulness to him? What about the pain some of us experienced this year? How did the Lord guide you through that? What joyous things did the Lord give to you? The job that you had been praying for? The house that you had been eyeing for a while? The children that entered your family? Yeah, think about these things, church. Let me commend to you a book, Donald Whitney's book on the spiritual disciplines, which has a great chapter on journaling. I used to be one that would groan whenever I heard anybody talk about journaling and diaries and all things. But I cannot think of a better way for you to remember what God has been doing in your life than to write it down. Donald Whitney's little book on the spiritual disciplines has a great chapter on that, on journaling. And I've not always been consistent with this, but I do have journals from at least my college years, and I can flip back open to those things right now and see the things I was struggling through, look through the things I had been praying for, asking the Lord to do in my life, and it is a great benefit to have those. And especially for even you young kids in the room, I suggest now is a great time to pick up some form of journaling. You've probably got big old questions about God in this whole church thing. This is a great time to jot those things down, be able to remember them and go back to them. But yeah, Donald Whitney's little book has tons of little tips and helps on how to journal, you know, if that interests you. But what about those are all mostly personal questions. What about this church? How has God shown his faithfulness to us corporately? Here we are again on another cold Sunday gathered in this room. Our numbers are slowly growing. It seems that each year people are growing in their appetite for the word to be taught and the word to be preached. I assume that's why you keep coming. Even as one who gets to normally stand over here in front of you and regularly hear you sing, I am encouraged by how much this body has grown in their desire to praise him through song. I mean, we've seen incredible prayer requests answered this year. We've seen marriages revived and strengthened. We've seen the addition of more pastors, of more deacons to serve. And by God's grace, we've even seen the door close on some opportunities. And that's okay. We know that the Lord saying no is not a bad thing. There are tons of things for this church to be thankful for if we would reflect on what the Lord is doing. Remember what he has done so far. But perhaps you struggle at answering these types of reflection questions. Perhaps you're like me. And sometimes we struggle to even recognize God's hand working in your life. That's one of my personal struggles. I oftentimes struggle with a pessimistic prayer life at times. But if you can't see clearly at times what God is doing, there is a tangible, objective event that you can always remember. Now, in the Old Testament, the Israelites were often directed to consider the Exodus and the night of the Passover. There are several psalms about remembering this great Exodus, 78, 105, 106. All throughout the Old Testament, the Israelites are told to think back to the Exodus, this mega event in their history when they were freed from the bondage of slavery by the Lord's hand. Christian, you too have a mega event that you need to look upon regularly. Even if you struggle to see God's hand working in your life in the everyday little things, you have an objective, concrete reality of the cross, where God sent his Son to the earth to carry out his rescue plan, like the Exodus and freedom from slavery. God has made a way for man to be freed from his rebellion to God. Through trusting in Christ and his work, church, think about these things and live. Remember what God has done. For some of those of you who are visiting, maybe you're just checking this Christianity thing out. Let me challenge you even this morning to consider these things. We just came off of the heels of Christmas, where the church celebrates when Jesus entered our world bodily, when he came to carry out this rescue plan. And friend, have you genuinely considered that story? Is that real? What if this Jesus really did die on a cross, was buried, and then 3 days later rose from the grave? Friends, if that's true, that changes everything. If Jesus got up from the grave, then he genuinely is the Son of God. And all of his claims are true. And the Bible really is God's word. Everything changes if that's true. And friends, let me challenge you this year. Won't you read the Gospel of Mark or the Gospel of John and continually ask yourself, is this historical? Did this really happen? If you just celebrated Christmas, our Christian holiday, about the birth of Christ, you can at least have the decency to consider if he told the truth. That would be a total Grinch move to celebrate his birthday and then totally ignore everything else about this Jesus figure. And so visitors, I challenge you to lean into these gospel writings this year. This is a short morning, so as even I, now I'm drawing to a close. Let me point your attention real quickly back to the book of Deuteronomy. Remember why Moses tells the people all of this to begin with. Moses says, remember the Lord, follow his law, and live. Just as they're about to cross the Jordan River and enter into the promised land, they're about to experience the answer to one of the biggest, most important promises made to Abraham. This new home where they would grow and God's presence would dwell in their midst. Well, even a few moments ago, as I was alluding to the Exodus account where God frees his people from bondage, how it foreshadows And it points forward to a bigger cosmic event. The Exodus is pointing forward to God freeing not just the nation of Israel, but the whole world out of their bondage to sin through the gospel. And so in this same way how the Exodus points us forward, so does them entering into the promised land. It points us forward to a cosmic event of when God's people, His church, comes to their final home to be with Christ forever. And so let me put all of this together for you, church. Here we are at the start of 2026, where we, the church, will reflect and do all that we can to remember the Lord, what He has done, what we will continue to do, and how we can continue to grow in our holiness and our sanctification, but all for what? It is not so that God will find favor with us. If you are united with Christ, He has favor. But so that we can live in the land. It is so that we will be ready to finally enter that promised land, like the Israelites are doing here in Deuteronomy. Do you understand, church? Grow and strive this year in your Christ-likeness, reflecting and remembering on what the Lord has done to make you ready for heaven, to prepare your soul for what the Lord intends to give to you forever. In the book of Hebrews, the author writes about Israel in the wilderness immediately after the Exodus, traveling. They spent 40 years on a trip that should have taken a week and a half, maybe. If you know that story well, they sadly grumbled and complained about God and eventually forgot about Him. And in the book of Hebrews, it says, the initial generation of people who literally saw the Lord open the walls of the Red Sea of water and they crossed across on dry ground, though that immediate generation didn't enter the land, it says in the book of Hebrews, because of their unbelief. He equates Israel's failure to remember the Lord with unbelief. So friends, pay attention to what the Lord has done. Reflect on His faithfulness and His goodness to His people. This past year was difficult for many of us. And for others, it was a year of great growth, of joy. But we can all agree, this is not heaven. Not yet. We are still traveling. And in the meantime, as we prepare for our promised land, let us all remember what the Lord has done so far. Let me conclude this morning with reading with one of my favorite passages. He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things, church? Let's pray.